This week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast is presented by Greenspun Media Group. Thanks for joining me. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, plus an exclusive conversation with someone you know or need to know in Vegas showbiz. Big week on the Strip, especially for Resorts World, which announced on Monday it will open, finally, on June 24th. You can see the Sun story right now at LasVegasSun.com. This surprised me a little bit because even though you can drive by Resorts World and see how close it is to being ready to open, I thought it might hold off until July or later in the summer. But it's coming up quick, and even though we've already had the opening of Circa Downtown and Virgin just off the Strip in recent months, this will probably be the biggest pandemic-era event in Las Vegas so far. And if that wasn't big enough, on Wednesday morning, which is today, if you're listening to this as soon as it comes out, Resorts World unleashed a very fancy commercial video that essentially announces who its entertainment headliners will be. I can't officially say what I know on this podcast right now since I'm recording it early, but you can go to LasVegasSun.com right now and see my story about these probably resident headliners at Resorts World. It's a game changer for Strip entertainment, and you already know, we've talked about the rumors, you've seen reports of Celine Dion and Carrie Underwood and other big names, so you know what's up, but go check it out if you haven't already. It's a cool little video, and I'm sure it's going to drum up a lot of excitement about this new Strip property. You can explore a little more at its website, which is rwlasvegas.com. A little more show news, the Magic of Jen Kramer and the Soul of Motown musical tribute show will reopen at Westgate Las Vegas in the Westgate Cabaret on May 7th. This is the first real live entertainment to return to Westgate, and it's only the beginning. George Wallace is going to be back in that room. Sexy the Show, which has been moonlighting at Larry Flynt's Hustler Club for the last few months, that show will be back at the Westgate Cabaret. And headliner Barry Manilow does have dates in the Westgate International Theater starting in June. Those tickets are on sale now. And speaking of June, when things in Las Vegas and across the state of Nevada are expected to open up a whole lot more, the Clark County Commission unveiled its plan this week to submit to the governor for approval. We know that on May 1st, local governments in Nevada will take over for the state in determining health and safety protocols going forward. The basics of the new county plan are to reduce required social distancing from 6 feet to 3 feet and to increase venue capacities from 50% to 80% on May 1st. The county would plan to do away with those restrictions when 60% of the eligible population has had at least one vaccination shot. You can, of course, visit LasVegasSun.com to get a lot more details about all this COVID stuff, but if this plan is approved and put into action on May 1st, it would mean Strip shows and theaters and restaurants and bars would be able to continue building momentum and hopefully get close to the governor's goal of 100% capacity by June 1st. I've got an exclusive conversation with a stage, screen, and music superstar this week, John Lloyd Young, who won a Tony Award for his performance as Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys on Broadway and also starred in the film version of Jersey Boys, has been performing in Las Vegas for years. And when his touring gigs across the country were shut down last year, he doubled down on making Vegas his home away from home by continuing to perform live stream shows from the space. The next one is coming up on May 1st. He's going to be doing something he's never done before, and there will be a small live audience for this show, as well as live stream capabilities at thespacelv.com. We're going to talk all about it, as well as get his feelings on getting through this crazy year. And he's also a visual artist, and he's been spending a lot of time staying creative in that world as well. Please enjoy my convo with John Lloyd Young. So you are performing a show called By Request live from Las Vegas on May 1st at The Space. What can we expect from this show?
This is the first time in the 15 years or so that I've done solo concerts that I've ever put it out to the audience to say, what do you want me to sing? And I actually realized, like, it makes it so much easier for me to do that. You know, why did it take me so long to think of this? So So it is literally what the title suggests. It's all by request. Every song that I'm singing in this concert, you may not know, your audience may not know. I've been during COVID. I've been, first of all, I worked at the space when there were live audiences there. A few times a year ahead of COVID. But when COVID happened, the owner of the space, Mark Chinook, who's a local celebrity, I know, he's reached out to me because I'm an LA guy. And he said, you want to do live streams until audiences can come back? And so we've been doing them since July of 2020, every several weeks. So this one is all by request. And I was really surprised to, in certain ways, to see, I was actually more surprised by what didn't end up on the request list, which is actually like, someone just let me out of jail. I feel like someone let me out of jail. There weren't like the big famous Jersey Boys Four Seasons songs on the request list, which means that my audience now is accepting John Lloyd Young for John Lloyd Young. Which I didn't even notice. So I just learned this now. So I guess that's pretty exciting. But so the first half of the program, I have some really great fans and fervent followers and everything. And I always do, for brand new people, I always do something that's either, because Jersey Boys thing I'm the best known for, I always do something from it. Even in this time, I will, because there were some requests. There just weren't as many as I thought from that genre. And then I have a lot of songs that are sort of from that era, which is just naturally what people would want to hear you sing, right? So the first part, I'm doing all my shows in two parts because I have a really, like outside of COVID, I have a really popular meet and greet game going. Where people, sometimes the meet and greet, especially in Vegas at the space, sometimes the meet and greet goes on longer than the show. it's like a receiving line and it goes on forever, And so I've really gotten to know a lot of my fans and followers that way. But because of COVID and because of not in-person stuff and also just distance and all that stuff that we've had to do, I was like, what are we going to do to kind of fulfill this thing that people are so excited about especially regarding the space, because that's one of the places in the country where we have the space to do it, And so I came up with this idea with Mark of an after party, a virtual after party. And we've done different things every time. So we do a concert, the regular concert that you'd see. And then if people want to stick around, there's an after party. And we either do just really relaxed things like a question and answer. There's a live chat when you're watching a live stream. So I'm able to kind of see what people are saying in real time and respond with them. At Valentine's Day, I did a after party that was almost like a speed dating round with fans that sent questions in ahead of time. And I called them from, a real phone line and I talked into the camera and sat literally on the other side of a table with a tablecloth and a bottle of wine. And we had little dates, so that was pretty cute. And it was surprising and spontaneous. This time, what we're going to do is, since it's by request, everything in the set there is not a single thing in the set that someone didn't request. So the first half, the concert section, is all stuff that people have heard me sing before and want to hear me sing again. And then the second half, Tommy Farragher, my music director, and I, it's just been two of us during COVID. But stay tuned, because we're going to bring the Vegas band back. We're planning it because now things are opening. But this time it's still going to be me and Tommy. So the first half is going to be stuff we've done before. Second half is going to be us working up requests that we got for songs that we've never done. So it's going to be like an invited studio session. If we need to change a key, we're going to change a key. If I'm like, you take that section, I'll take this one. We'll do that in real time with the audience there and intersperse it with conversations with the audience, talk to them about questions they have, whatever. And that'll be half a dozen or so brand new songs that we've never tried that the fans and followers wanted to hear us do.
That sounds incredible.
I'm kind of excited, and I'll tell you, you won't be surprised to hear that the Bee Gees, the Bee Gees popped up here and there in requests. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, I guess that's so obvious. And yet I've never done Bee Gees. So that was a request. I'm not telling you whether we're doing it or not, but I mean, if I mention it, I guess probably I better. And the one thing I can tip my hat to in the after party part that was a surprising thing is that, and that I've never done before, is there were a few requests for a Frankie Valli cover, that songs that don't appear in Jersey Boys at all, but were sung by Frankie Valli. And I was like, this is good timing, because Frankie Valli's birthday is May 3rd and our concert's May 1st. So I'm going to tip my hat to Frankie's birthday and do a brand new cover of a Frankie Valli song I've never done before. So that'll give away one thing we're doing the after party. In the concert, you want to hear some of the I shouldn't give away the requests, though, should I?
I mean, it's up to you. It's up to
you. I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, I mean, but for anyone who's new, hasn't seen a show I've done before, then I love to do, like that really exciting 60s, 70s R&B doo-wop, early rock sort of stuff. I love it. So, you know, one of my most requested songs, which is definitely going to be in the set, because it's most requested all the time, whether I'm officially asking for requests or not, is, Unchained Melody, as opposed to like the Frankie Valli falsetto. Sometimes people want to hear the Lou Christie falsetto. And so it's like Lightning Strikes and some of those really exciting kind of things. And then some other surprising songs that I've had in my set for a while. Like I love Little Anthony and the Imperials and, you know, some of those groups, and those songs have become favorites. So they'll be in. And I'm giving Tommy Farragher a solo too, who's he's a Grammy nominated songwriter in his own right. And, you know, you can go and look on YouTube and find old videos of him on Solid Gold in terry cloth and LaMay from his younger days, you know? So, who knows what he'll do as his solo, but sometimes he pulls out an old Solid Gold hit.
What's it been like for you to, you talked about it a little bit already, but what has it been like over this last year to pop into Vegas and do these live stream shows, from the space when there's nothing else going on?
First of all, I mean, just you kind of in your question is the answer right there. Like, wow, there's a place to do something when there's nothing else going, you know. I started my career in New York City, and you would think people would be doing live streams all over the place because there's all these live performers in New York. But the space in Vegas is accidentally so appropriate for distancing and all this stuff, because it is like, as you know, and the people who go there, it's like a self-contained, it's by itself. Anything that's ever happening there is just whatever's happening in the space. It's not like you're walking through a lobby of a hotel with all strangers or whatever. It's so you can lock down the space literally and figuratively. And, it's self-contained like a soundstage. So when you make it into something like a soundstage, as opposed to a live performance venue, and you're not inviting people in, you move the chairs out and put up cameras and run it like a soundstage and lock it down like a soundstage where there's only six people allowed in the building or whatever. And so it was a perfect antidote to the, you know, the disappearance of live performance across the board for everybody. And Tommy and I, he also lives in LA. So we were able to social distance by driving ourselves there. So we didn't have to get on a plane, because if there's certain points during this thing, it was scarier or less scary. Right. And we started relatively early last July. So, we drove ourselves there and, drove ourselves to the space, did our sound check with masks on. You know, didn't have the whole full band, so there were less people in there. Tommy's at least 12 feet away at his piano. And then just threw the dice. Like, you know, are we going to do this? Are we going to have audience members? And we did, and we had enough to sustain it and to continue to do it, probably every 6 weeks or so throughout this. So it's been a lifeline. And, Tommy and I both know how fortunate we are, to be able to still be out working in a live, way, you know, every few weeks until we're all through this and bookings come back for everybody. 'Cause they disappeared for everybody, including us.
Yeah.
The space was a lifeline.
Doing those shows has helped, turn the space into kind of a Vegas home for, you know, let's say the Broadway artist, especially artists who live in Los Angeles and can make that quick commute over to do something in Vegas if they want to. You know, you're a very prominent name from that community, and we've seen other Broadway artists do the same since then. So it seems like
my
mutually beneficial situation.
My biggest Broadway, I don't know what you'd call it, a talent crush or something. You know how when you're a freshman in high school and there's a senior and you like, he's so cool and you look up to him like the Danny Zuko of your school, you know? Well, for me, that figure as a, you know, an aspiring Broadway guy when I was younger was Adam Pascal from Rent, you know? And he played a couple shows that he did a couple streamers for Mark at the Space. So I was like, astounded to see that. I was like, wow, Adam Pascal. So yeah, it's a real viable place for someone, like you said, from that world who's in Los Angeles, and it's not as daunting a commute, you know, I guess it would be from New York City, especially they've had really restrictive things. You go out of the city and you come back and you have to quarantine and all. It's just been really easy for us because we're a road trip away. It's a day trip. It's a day trip to Vegas from Los Angeles.
I mean, you've done a lot in Vegas, in LA, in New York, on Broadway, of course. You're a part of these different communities of performers and artists. What's your perspective now that some things are reopening? You know, there's talk, I guess, that Broadway is going to come back in the fall. What's your perspective right now on just getting back to live entertainment in general, and maybe what the morale or what the mood is of this population of artists that's been stuck at home for a year?
Yeah. Well, I want to be optimistic and say that audience members are going to feel comfortable to be back in spaces with strangers. I want to be optimistic about it. But at the same time, I also want to be realistic. And that's the real thing that remains to be seen. I think in some of these smaller places, some of the smaller venues, for example, I have a club booking coming up in June in Indiana, you know, depending on the demographic of the audience, like who's coming back, probably most of the people that would come to that thing that I have in June will have been vaccinated. And I think a lot of people feel a lot safer that way. I know I will, you know, because I've had my first shot, so I'll have my second soon. I think that people are going to be, I can just say from myself, from doing the first few live streams, it was scary, a little nerve wracking, you know, like you're tiptoeing into it. Like, it's just scary. It was scary even to like leave your house at one point, you know. I think that there's going to be probably a lot of pent up energy, and my prediction, I think I'll be right about, is that once you can get out and do it successfully without falling ill or having any of those sort of things happen, and you get out in front of an audience again and you get that applause and you've had a successful show, I think people are going to feel revitalized and also a deep appreciation for being able to perform that maybe we didn't feel before. I know that, you know, I had done a major Broadway show. I played the Hollywood Bowl with 17,000 people, you know, things like that. And at certain points over my career, I think, you know, I'm playing smaller clubs. I've played to 17,000 people, you know, I get like, when am I going to play a big performing arts center? I'd feel like down on myself or something. And I'm like, now I'm thinking, whoa, dude, now like the safest place, the place you'd like to play the best or the most is a small club. And so I'm really grateful in advance of when I get to step up in front of live audiences again. And as you know, there is a protocol that allows some live audience at the space. And so the last couple times we've had a small audience distanced, masked, you know, at a bit of a distance from the stage. And so it hasn't been playing just to cameras in a quiet room. I mean, short story long, because that's, you know, you ask a short answer, you get a long, you ask a short question, you get a long answer from me. As I think out loud, I think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment and a little bit of nervousness, but ultimately maybe a renaissance of feelings of gratitude for what we get to do as live performers.
Would you say that you have spent a lot of your extra downtime working on your visual art? And has that gone in any different directions over the past year?
I spent the majority of the time at the beginning working on the visual artwork, which was sort of a question of sanity for me, I guess, because when you're locked down in your house and you don't know when you can get out again, you know, it's good to have something to do, you know. So I came in the midst of the really uncomfortable feelings that I think all of us can relate to with the uncertainty in the outside world. I quickly learned to become grateful for having the time to get back into the art studio because I was busy before with lots of traveling and doing shows at different places, lots of interruptions. And so it was hard to kind of, because I've been doing the artwork, I think my debut of my visual art was in 2010, a long time ago. You know, so I was glad to be able to revisit it. And it became, you know, because we had so much time on our hands, pretty prolific. I think probably easily 120 pieces sold or something, you know, and even more made. In fact, I've had to stop putting them up for sale because I have to make more, you know, so, you know, and things are getting busy again. So I think it was an interesting window of time where I could just focus on that for a while. And I kind of liked it. If I had to go back and only do artwork again, if something like this happened again, I learned that I could be happy doing that, but I'm a live performer first and foremost, and so that's coming back, and so I want to go for it.
Is your approach to creating visual art an entirely different process from creating music and concerts? Maybe is it maybe more or less personal or anything like that?
Well, I can answer it this way. So one of my first art openings that I had in Boca down in Florida years ago, I had an art opening and I had all these pieces, you know, on pedestal, because I do sculptural things. And I had all these pieces on pedestals throughout the gallery. And I was in the back room watching people come in before I went out and said hello to people. I'm watching them come in on the, you know, the security camera. And I had a piece that I had worked really hard on making it look like, you know, I work with like sort of pop culture kind of stuff. So I did a piece that was Manischewitz gefilte fish. Okay. And I did a jar of gefilte fish and it like had the jelly and you know, the gefilte fish floating at the top, but just like, if you know the packaging. And then, you know, I do this pave kind of like Liberace treatment on the label, you know, with rhinestones. So it's like a disco gefilte fish, you know? So I had created this piece and a lot of my pieces use rhinestones and packaging are sort of like that's kind of how I started. It was almost kind of like a Warholian thing. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in the back and I watched people come into the gallery and, you know, you can't pass off real food as art. Like you can't just really put out you can't sell a bottle of ketchup that has ketchup in it. If you want it to look like it has it in it, you have to make it look like it has it. You know, you can't just sell ketchup. So I had worked really hard to make that transparent glass look like it had the real jelly and the gefilte fish floating in it. And it looked really, you know, it's all dry, but it looked like there was real stuff in there. And I watched people walk in and I watched people literally look at it and pass it up. It was the most intricate piece in the whole show. And I was like, that's interesting because they think it's real. So I succeeded, but they're also dismissing it. So they think that I didn't succeed. And I'm watching this from the back and I'm like, this is great, because when I'm performing, you get the same attitudes. You can see people check out, or they don't like what you're doing. You could feel now, after doing this for years and years and years, live performance, even if I feel an audience checking out a little bit, I know how to pump them back up, you know? So that doesn't happen as much, but theoretically they judge you, your interpretation of the song, or if you're an actor in something, they judge your performance or whatever. It was really great to sit in that room and watch people look at my art and not at me, at something I made, and feel like, I like this a lot better, because I don't give a shit if they like the gefilte fish piece or not. For me, it's amusing just that it's very clear that they think it's that it's really full of gefilte fish, you know, like, wow, that I really succeeded, you know? So, I might not have sold it. So that's another thing, but, you know, but I think that having the art piece outside of yourself is a lot less pressure than when you're the thing that they're looking at and assessing. Mm-hmm. So that's the one part of the visual art that I like a lot.
Well, like we said, things are opening back up again. Hopefully it won't be long before you'll be back on the road touring and doing what you do and singing at many more live shows all over the place. When that does happen, I know it's early to think about it, but when that does happen, do you think you will keep Las Vegas in the mix in the future?
The space will be in the mix no matter what. The space was in the mix before COVID, for years before COVID. I think I started playing the space in 2016. And, you know, Mark they have a fantastic web presence and website and the design, and it's just beautiful and like slick, you know. Everything that Mark does is slick and top notch. He's a real asset to that community there in Vegas. But at one point, he had asked me for a testimonial, and I described the space as our artistic home away from home, which is really true, because Mark lets us do whatever we want there in terms of our set, whatever. So we can try new stuff out at the space. It's Vegas, so everyone's in a festive mood no matter what, because they come to see your show and then they're on the floor of casino, you know, winning big or trying to, or, you know, drinking, you know. It's a fun place, Vegas. And so it's a perfect place for us to experiment and be really creative and try things. And so that because of the nature of the Mark's place and Vegas itself, that's a thing that we'll want to keep in the mix forever. You know, we were doing it before COVID, doing it during COVID, and we'll do it after.
It's time now to get you weekend ready with my picks for live entertainment in Las Vegas. If you've been reading The Sun this week, you know that the Vegas Room is expanding with the soft opening of the Nevada Room on Sunday with jazz singer Amanda King. That's super exciting, but in the actual Vegas Room, the little listening room and supper club that started it all, another incredible singer is on stage Saturday night, and it's Ashley Fuller. She sings a lot at the Tuscany, and she's been in Vegas the Show and other popular productions around town. You won't want to miss her Saturday night at the Vegas Room. Penn & Teller reopen at the Rio this week on Thursday, and this is huge for Vegas. These guys are icons. Their show is so funny and inventive and different from any other magic show you'll see on the Strip or anywhere else. They are back in their eponymous theater, also where they film their TV series, Fool Us, at 9 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And let's get a little more comedy and magic with one of their buddies, Piff the Magic Dragon, who's still going strong with Mr. Piffles and the rest of his enchanted, wacky crew at the Flamingo Showroom for two shows a night, Friday and Saturday, plus a 7 p.m. show on Sundays. That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thank you so much for listening, and special thanks to John Lloyd Young for talking with me this week. You can find tickets to his show at thespacelv.com. And you can also find out more about what he's doing and keep up with him in general at johnlloydyoung.com. Find past episodes of The Sun on the Strip at lasvegassun.com/podcast, or listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. See you next week. Take care.